As the summer of 2013 begins for investors, there's been a terrifying echo of what preceded the great financial crisis of 2008. In the summer of 2007, banks and financial institutions were trying to sail their way through a so-called liquidity crisis, where cash dries up, money gets tight, and all the little boats find themselves deep in the mud rather than above the waves. Speaking of mud, see if you can decipher this.
If the incoming data support the view that the economy is able to sustain a reasonable cruising speed, we will ease the pressure on the accelerator by gradually reducing the pace of purchases.
That announcement from Captain Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke last week was one big factor that precipitated what's being called a miniature liquidity crisis, as the financial system tries to imagine a world without the Federal Reserve propping up the money supply. It's been a collective look down from what seemed like a comfortable ledge just a week ago. Add to that worries in China about consumer confidence and the backing of its own banks, a crisis in Brazil, and summer starts to look hot and dry. Gillian Tett, assistant editor for the Financial Times, joins us. Welcome back to the program, Gillian.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Are people afraid of what might happen if the Fed stops buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, essentially propping up the low interest rates and the demand for these securities?
They absolutely are, because if you want to use the nautical imagery again, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and when the tide goes out, you see not only which boats are actually shipshape or not, but you see who's wearing trunks, to use that wonderful phrase that I think was coined by Warren Buffett, and you can start to see who's been taking very risky bets. And essentially, there is a widespread recognition in the markets that the yields on treasury bonds have been lowered artificially by the actions of the Fed. If the Fed withdraws its support, they could jump up, and rising interest rates could impact on the economy and markets in all manner of unexpected ways.
Do you believe that rising interest rates right now could shut off the sort of slight boom in the housing market that's emerged over the last year or so?
I think there's certainly a risk that it could temper the boom in the housing market. I don't think it would entirely crush it, because there really is a sense that the housing market has bottomed. Prices are rising. Perhaps more importantly, you have a lot of new investors coming in and buying up properties. And many of those have been influenced by the super low mortgage rates. In fact, you've had 30-year mortgages on offer at about 3.5% as recently as 6 weeks ago. The fact that rate has now risen towards almost 4.5% is certainly going to deter some buyers, but it's not going to put people completely out of the market. The bigger question, though, really, is whether it's going to have an impact on business and consumer confidence more broadly, and whether it's a question of simply slowing down the recovery or actually killing it altogether.
Let's talk about the margin for error. Since 2007, when really nobody saw the precipitousness of the collapse coming, is there less margin for error this time around when suddenly things look a little shaky?
There is and there isn't. I mean, the good news is that nobody can accuse the Fed of not warning the markets very clearly that it does plan to tighten. So unlike 2007, when the bursting of the bubble came as a complete surprise, this time round, people have discussed it extensively. And I was actually with Richard Fisher yesterday, who's the president of the Dallas Fed. And the point he made is that people are talking about the future tightening, or rather the withdrawal of this extraordinary amount of monetary support. They're talking about that a lot. The flip side is, though, that unfortunately it has been the Fed that has been propping up the markets to a large degree over the last year. The Fed did that in the hopes that they would buy time for the politicians to get to grips with the badly needed structural and fiscal reforms. That has not happened, and there's still no guarantee that if or when the Fed does start tightening, you'll actually see the necessary action from the politicians instead.
Are they over a barrel, the Fed, that if they do withdraw, it's just going to be a crash landing? Or is Bernanke really good at this warning business, and what we're seeing right now is a healthy contraction?
Well, frankly, they're walking a tightrope right now, or rather walking a very, very slippery tightrope in the pouring rain over a ship which is, you know, careening from side to side in a storm. And the problem is that everybody knows that at some point the Fed will need to exit from these extraordinary measures. They also know that, quite frankly, the kind of measures that have been put in place have created huge distortions that will need to be addressed, and bubbles. I mean, Richard Fisher from the Dallas Fed is very articulate in pointing to parts of the market, such as the high yield market, which makes gives finance to risky companies. But if they withdraw those measures too fast, they could end up triggering a crisis that would make those distortions even worse. So trying to find a way out of this very difficult situation is frankly going to demand an extraordinarily competent captain on the part of Captain Bernanke or whoever else succeeds him at the Fed.
I've got to put that one in stone. On a slippery tightrope in the pouring rain over a ship that's tossing and turning in the waves. Jillian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jillian Tett, assistant editor for the Financial Times, on the economy and the jitters in the financial system over the last few days. Coming up, a new documentary explores the relationship between the Black church and gay rights. Filmmaker Yoruba Richen is with us next.